Support for Soundwaves from the Underground is brought to you by 24tix.com, the most convenient way to buy tickets to your favorite local concerts. Save time, save money, rock out. 24tix.com, your ticket to the experience.
I just sprayed that fresh breath stuff, so I'll probably have fresh breath.
Delightful. Good.
I also have tingly lips.
Or because of the heightened emotion. It's got so much stuff in here. It's mainly alcohol, though, let's be honest.
Welcome to Soundwaves from the Underground, broadcasting from the Jeanette D. Moses Memorial Studio. I'm JP, and this is the official podcast of Slug Magazine in Salt Lake City, Utah. Slug, an acronym for Salt Lake Underground, is one of the oldest independent publications in the U.S., distributing free monthly issues about music, arts, action sports, and subculture. We'll throw in an article here or there about beer, local art, dancing, everything going on in Salt Lake. On this week's episode, League of Women Voters, Swingin' Utters, and Strung Out, as well as some new music. The League of Women Voters is a political organization founded in Chicago in the 1920s, started to be a women-only movement helping newly enfranchised women exercise their right to vote. Since then, the group has modified their stance to include men and now have grassroots chapters across all 50 states, D.C., and other U.S. territories. The Utah chapter was founded in 1976 to educate voters about major public policy issues and influence public policy through education and advocacy. Slug writer Johnny Logan sat down with co-president Marilyn Odell and co-director Jen Gonnelly to talk about the league and their goals.
Can you tell us a little bit about the League of Women Voters?
The League of Women Voters is more than 90 years old because we were started the year that women got the vote in 1920. And we are organized on a national basis. Our organization here in Utah represents all the league members in the state of Utah. We are obviously most interested in getting people educated about voting, registered to vote. We also have opinions on other issues that we can lobby on. We lobby with the state legislature, which is where Jen comes in. You want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, as the co-director of the Legislative Action Group, what we do, it's our role to give people the knowledge they need about what's going on in the legislature to address their legislative representatives and also take that back to who they're voting for. They can look at what that legislator has done and decide whether they want to vote for that person or not. As a nonpartisan organization, yes, we do lobby on specific stands, but we don't endorse any candidates. We're really about giving people the information they need to make their own decisions.
And as far as nonpartisan, it's easy to lobby on things that benefit everyone, as far as you don't have to side with one side or the other to see that. So.
We actually have a process whereby we don't lobby on an issue until we've studied it and accumulated information, and as a group have come to consensus on our position, then we will lobby. So we don't just lobby on things willy-nilly.
Can you tell us a little bit about the people behind the scenes, you know, yourself and the other officers? You know, what do you do specifically to keep women involved politically?
Well, we're an all-volunteer organization. We do have a hierarchy of a board over the state that there's 10, 12 of us, who we all specialize in different things. We have people who specialize in getting the vote out. So tomorrow we're at the farmers market to make sure the people are registered to vote. My group, which does the legislature, we've got groups that specialize in education. Our voting people will go to high schools to get kids who are turning 18, get them the knowledge to register to vote. We've also got boards for cities or counties. Salt Lake County's got a board, Weber's got a board, Davis and Grand County have boards, to engage locally on local issues. So while the legislature may follow issues of, say, HB 363, which we were quite vocal about, Salt Lake would then follow issues of air quality within the Salt Lake Valley, which we all know is quite an issue to follow. And they'll follow city council. So we know what's going on in the city councils within the Salt Lake area, Taylorsville or Salt Lake or West Valley. That's the way it's kind of bringing politics down to the granular level and what's important to you as a resident here.
Why do you think it's important for women to be involved in politics? You know, not just by voting, but by staying active in the political process and keeping themselves politically informed.
I think women bring a different perspective to politics and everything else. However, you know, we don't just lobby for women. We don't just talk about women's issues. We do talk about a variety of issues, but obviously We do admit men to the organization, but obviously because we have a preponderance of women, education is very important to us, for instance. And so women's issues are important. And I really think that with so many of the people that are voting being women, we should have more women educated, more women participating.
Is there anything you're currently fighting for or against, you know, current issues? You mentioned the House bill.
Well, we fought against HB 363. We thought that it took the power away from parents to ask their schools to teach a particular curriculum on sex ed. That bill would have the state telling them what their schools would teach, when that responsibility to say what my district will teach should be up to the parents in that district, not of the state. Right now, our biggest initiative is putting together a voter's guide for the upcoming election. This is a long-standing tradition within the League of Women Voters. What we do is we ask questions of the candidates. We ask the same questions of all of the state House candidates and all of the state Senate candidates. We ask them to answer us. Then come September 1, the answers that we get, we will have on a website. So you as a voter can go in and say, okay, these are the two candidates running my district. This is what they had to say about these five issues. Not everyone will answer them. We've seen in the past that only a percentage will send back those questionnaires. But we're working on it, and if they choose not to answer, the voters will be let know about that.
And what's your website where they can find that?
LWVUtahAllSpelledOut.org. And we will advertise that voter's guide as soon as it comes out on September 1st.
Well, how do people go about joining the League?
Contact any member of the League, fill out a membership application with name, address, normal things, and then you pay your dues. That's it. You can join through the website. There is an application form there, or any member should be happy to give you one.
Of course, the advantage of joining the League is that we do provide this information. This goes back to when we were formed in 1920, when the women got the right to vote. The women who got us the right to vote believed that we needed all the education, that we needed to know as women what our vote said and what we were voting for, not necessarily at the time. It may have been at the time following their husband's lead, that women needed to vote independently of their husbands. And to some degree, we still do this. It's not that we're concerned about people voting with their husbands anymore, but we're concerned about women who lead very busy lives, careers and families. All of us who are so busy. So what we do as a volunteer organization is we go out and we investigate and we study and we give you that information, sort of in a condensed manner. So there's a lot of good about being a member of the League of Women Voters. Again, we're going to give you a huge amount of information that you can then use.
And you mentioned your volunteers. You guys have a great volunteer system in place. Can you tell us about, you know, a little bit about them and what they do?
I think most of our volunteers are working registering voters at the farmers market on Saturdays. That would be actually an event that's sponsored by the League of Women Voters of Salt Lake rather than the whole state. You can certainly go to the website. We are going to revise the website in the next little while and actually have on the homepage a place for volunteers. But at this point, probably the best thing to be would be to call the office or contact one of the officers. The officers or contacts are there.
And if you want to volunteer, one of the great things is learning how to be at the legislature.
Yes.
Anybody can be at the legislature.
Yes.
We will, if you want to learn how to do this, we will take you up there. We will teach you everything you need to know to be up there and to listen. We can always use more volunteers who are listening to the proceedings up there. At this point, legislature is only in session for 45 days from January to March, but they do meet through the summertime, every third Wednesday of the month. And that's how new bills are formed. So now is kind of a crucial time for us.
Yes, the third Wednesday of August will be the first opportunity.
And we'll be happy to teach anybody what they need to know.
Do you have any upcoming events or activities you'd like to mention?
Well, we have the Fall Fete, which is coming up. I have heard that it's going to be a wine and chocolate party, which should be loads of fun. You know, we're a group that encourages you to talk politics. I know it's not necessarily considered a socially acceptable thing to talk politics at a party, but come to us. We love it. We're kind of quiet in the summertime. We definitely
Yes.
kick into high gear come the fall, where we meet in unit meetings. So you can meet in a small group discuss politics that are coming up. We will have information coming out towards September about the two ballot initiatives that are on. A ballot initiative will change the state constitution. So these are important issues. So we suggest that everybody come to our website and follow these items.
For more information on the League of Women Voters or to get involved, visit them online at lwvutah.org. L'Anarchiste is an indie folk band from Salt Lake City. They released their self-titled debut EP in December of 2011. From that EP, here is Iron.
I long
That was Lonar Schiest with Iron from their self-titled debut EP. The band will be playing Localized on Saturday, August 18th at Urban Lounge with Folk Hogan and Daisy and the Moonshines. It's only $5 and it starts at 10. For more info on the band, visit them online at facebook.com/LANARCHISTEmusic. Swingin' Udders is a punk band from Central California that started in 1987, releasing their debut album, Scared, in 1992 on Quality of Life Records. They then transferred to Fat Records in 96 for their third album, where they've been ever since. And more recently, they released their seventh full-length album, Here, Under Protest, in April of 2011, and are currently recording a new album. Slug's contributing editor, Ricky Vigil, had a chance to chat with Johnny Bonnell about the group and their current tour.
You guys released a new album last year after like 8 years of not releasing music, not touring a whole lot. Just how has the transition been going back to being more of a full-time gig with Swingin' Udders?
It's been good. We're pretty excited because just the band that we, the lineup we have now, where we all get along really well. I think that it's a very talented group of dudes, so it's been really exciting for me, at least. I think it's the same way for the rest of the guys, but I can't speak for them. But, yeah, we just started writing stuff together. That, you know, I started writing with Jack and from One Man Army, and it's been working out really well. We've been able to write songs fairly quickly, and so we're pretty much wrapping up another record already.
What was kind of the reason for the quick turnaround between Cure Under Protest and this new album that you guys are recording now?
A lot of it had to do with just not having time to do band stuff, you know, with families and jobs and whatnot. Now that we're all sort of struggling to find jobs that we can keep and go on tour, and there's still some issues here and there. I mean, there's been times where we have to go out with just four band members instead of five, just because people can't get off work. We lost Spike in the process because he had to settle down and keep his job in San Francisco, but we got a guy named Miles Tech, who's the new bass player, and he's great, man. He fits in great, and he's a really good guy. So once we found a balance with what we can do with our families and jobs and whatnot, we decided to go for it again. Unfortunately, a lot of other bands are thinking the same thing, so it's kind of a cluster F out there on the road.
Yeah.
When it comes to touring and stuff, but you sort of bend with the times, and you know, now we have to book shows a good 6 months in advance. Yeah, it's still a lot of shuffling and whatnot, but when everyone finds the time and we're all very interested, it seems to work out fairly well. The reason why is we got back into it is just because we missed it, you know, and it makes us happy to do that stuff. There's also good and bad that comes with it, because you know you have to go on. When you go on tour, you're away from your family and kids, and miss some of the things they're doing when they're growing up. But we have strong wives and cool wives and girlfriends, and so we're able to do it.
Yeah, that's right.
We're appreciative of it. Destroy a confidence, a last-ditch effort and happiness. Relax at the thought of this and what may happen next. The best to come. The worst road to run.
So, kind of going back to the new album, do you feel that it's different from Here Under Protest? Is it more of a continuation? Or are you guys trying to incorporate new stuff? I mean, I know this is the first time Jack is really contributing to the songwriting.
I think it's really different. Yeah, I just there's a different vibe about it, and I think it's a good thing. I really like the songs. Right now, I think it's our best album we've ever done. But that's just me saying it. I don't know what the rest of people are gonna think, but. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not. I don't think it's a continuation of Here Under Protest. I think it has a good variety of stuff, and there's stuff that you can hear that's always been a part of our music that's on it. But there's also new stuff too. So, but it has a really big variety of music, and it's stuff that we haven't done before, mixed in with stuff that we have done before. So yeah, it's a little bit of a departure, but I wouldn't say it's like a continuation of Here Under Protest.
Yeah.
I think it's a completely new and different album.
And one of the things I've always really liked about Swingin' Utters is that you guys do incorporate a lot of different styles into your punk rock stuff. Especially, like, I mean, with Jugglers of the Avenues and Filthy Thieving Bastards, you kind of let it out a little bit more there. But I was just wondering, some of the other things, like the bluegrass, the country, the folk, some of the other stuff that you are into that you would like to incorporate more into Swingin' Utters, or if you would like to at all.
Yeah, well, I think we'll always have, I mean, there's more country on here too as well, on
Disney
stuff. I think there's two. I don't think we'll ever lose that, but I think just the fact that Jack was taking part in the writing process is that's the reason why it's so different, I think.
Yeah.
He has a different ear, and we've always wanted him to write, but he just never got around to it. I just said, hey man, just start writing, you know, just start writing me songs and I'll write lyrics to it, and we'll see how it goes. And as soon as we started doing that, we had like 10 songs in a month or something like that. It just went by really quick, and I was loving it, you know. And I still want him to send me more music, because I really dig the way he writes music. It's just a different thing for me, and I really enjoy it. It's got a weird quality in his music. It's like the first time I've ever heard it before, so it's refreshing.
Years ago, Red Scare put out that really rad tribute album to you guys. It had a bunch of really cool bands like Fucked Up, Cobra Skulls, Street Dogs, all kinds of cool shit. But I was just wondering how it felt to be one of those bands that is an inspiration to like a whole new era of bands. Like, you're one of those bands that people come up listening to now.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the ultimate gesture there. I couldn't even believe it. To me, that's just insane. I don't know. It's hard to describe.
Yeah.
And I don't even care who's on it. Just,
yeah.
Just the fact that they, you know what I mean? Just the fact that they made it, it's huge for me. I mean, it's like the type of thing where you can say, I could die tomorrow when that happens. Just a cool gesture, and it just keeps me going. It's another thing just keeps me going. Yeah, and the fact that Fucked Up's on it is, I don't know, man. That's just crazy to me. I didn't even know that they were fans, you know, and then they pop up on that thing, and it's like, I don't know, it just blows me away. And it's cool. It makes me want to, like, contact these bands and just say, hey, man, let's play some shows. But I don't see why there should be a problem with that now, you know,
yeah.
When we're at this age. I think it should be that way. It should be just like, let's put money aside. Let's ask each other to play shows because we're fans of each other's bands, you know, and we respect each other. It's like, why not play shows together? I think it'd be a good idea, and I think it'd be a good mix because, well, you know, we're not exactly the same, but it seems like we have the same sort of passion for music.
Yeah, for sure. I would go to that show for real. Okay.
Yeah, man, I'll try to set it up.
Yeah, bring them to Salt Lake. They've never been here.
I mean, we love Salt Lake. We have great shows there, and I think it's been that way since we started touring.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'll always go back to Salt Lake, no matter what.
Yeah, that's awesome, and I'm stoked. I actually didn't get to see you guys last time you were here, but that Bird's Tiki Lounge is such a cool little club. I'm sure that it was nuts with all the people in there just to see you guys.
Oh, man, it was great, man. That was a very memorable experience.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking forward to this next show coming up.
Swingin' Utters will be in Salt Lake City on August 14th at Burt's Tiki Lounge with special guests Roll the Tanks. Tickets are $13 in advance, $15 at the door, and the show is at 8. For more info on the group, visit them online at swinginutters.com. It's time once again for our weekly daily calendar rundown. I'm sitting here with Esther Moronio, managing editor of Slug Magazine. Thank you, Esther, for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Do you want to jump right into this thing?
Let's do it.
You want to start off Tuesday for us? You just do it. Just do it.
Yeah. So Tuesday, August 14th, Andrew Bird, Amadou, and Miriam are playing at the Red Butte. And we actually have a feature on Andrew Bird and a new documentary that is coming out about him called Fever Year. You can read more about it in our August issue. We have an interview with the film director, Zan Arenada. And also on Tuesday, we'd like to give a special shout out to the former managing editor, Jeanette Moses, who is in New York City now. Happy birthday, Jeanette.
We're broadcasting live from her studio. Her memorial studio, live to tape, as they say.
Hopefully she still listens to this.
Fingers crossed. She will for this amazing crosstalk we've got going on. The banter is crazy today. It's been really amazing. And Wednesday, August 15th, Rainbow Black, Dirty Blonde, Stag Hair, Nathan Spencer, and the Low Keys will be at Urban. It's local psychedelic garage rock sort of music, so if you're into that, go check it out. We recently had Nathan Spencer joining us for a Slug Localized, and everyone liked it. And if you want to hear more full sound with his band, go check that out. Thursday, August 16th, there's going to be something taking place at the Underground. Maybe you know a little bit more about this than I do.
Yep, Bomb the Music Industry. It's a punk rock band, and once again, we have a feature on them in our August issue. They recently came out with a new album, and our contributing editor, Ricky Vigil, got to interview them, so pretty cool. They release most of their music for free on the internet, so. And it's at the Underground. Then on Friday, August 17th, Sharon Von Etten who's a singer-songwriter, and Tedis, who are a shoegaze beach pop band, are playing at Urban. I know that some of the editorial team got to see Tedis at South by Southwest. Weren't super impressed, but I don't know, maybe they're having an off day. So go check them out at Urban. Hopefully it's a good show.
You can listen online, you know, see if it's up your alley to the music and what have you, and then go. You know, you don't have to go just on that awesome recommendation that you gave us there. People should, you know, what was it? Don't take my word for it. Turn up, take on up, read it, read the book. You're welcome, everybody, for that. And Saturday, August 18th, Slug Localized with Daisy and the Moonshines, Folk, Hogan, and
Lunarchist
at Urban, folk rock bands. You can read more about them in the August issue. I'll be on hand to introduce them, and we're also going to have music from Folk Hogan here in mere moments, literal moments. And there's a photo exhibit that day.
There is. The I Am Local photo exposition is going on at Poor York Studios. And basically it's a bunch of photo narratives on some local businesses, which should be pretty interesting. There'll be different restaurants and retail shops, stuff like that. So you'll be able to learn more about your local community.
I'm looking forward to that. I'll check it out. And I'm equally excited about the event that's happening the day after that, Sunday, August 19th, the Beer Hive Brew Off Awards at the Bayou. Are you going to go get crunk on some homebrew?
Maybe. I don't know. It sounds a little bit sketch.
Yeah, especially when you put the word crunk in front of it. Sounds like white lightning you'd be brewing in your toilet in the county lockup.
But yeah, the Beer Nut is sponsoring this, and they're known for, you know, giving some supplies to some homebrewers, because, you know, that's what they do.
I wasn't laughing. He was laughing at the fact that he was, like, looking at the ground and talking. We can't hear
you.
Oh,
sorry.
You're looking at the ground and talking.
That's how I think. That's my thinking. Look at my shoes.
We need mics on the ground. Everybody. Oh, I see what you did there. You were shoegazing before.
I was shoegazing.
Cool.
Yep.
Actually, you're not that old. You did not invent that.
No, I didn't.
People have been looking at their shoes since the 70s.
That was not around then.
Nice try. Nice try, Stare. But you did a great job today in the studio. Another killer day. And we've got other places people can find out about the daily calendar events if they're curious. And I'm sure you could give us a rundown on that if you're inclined, if you're so inclined. Do you have time?
Yeah, I think so. So the first place that you can find it is in the back of the magazine. Pick it up any place cool and check it out, see what's up around town in physical form. Or if you have an iPhone, which I do, but JP does not.
Yeah, I enjoy it all the way.
You can download our SlugMag iPhone app, and there's a listing there, along with a direct link to download an episode of Soundwaves. And you can also read the latest issue. So.
Wait, are you saying I can do all that from one app?
One app.
On one low price of $3.93? Sign me up.
Yes, it is a free app, so.
People can also subscribe to us on iTunes. Did you know that? We're on iTunes in podcast form. A lot of people right now they think the only way they can get it is from the website. No. What if I told you could get it on iTunes? Would you be excited?
I would be so excited.
Would you want to pay $0 for that?
I would probably pay $0 for it.
Well, I got some good news. Yeah, you can do
it. It's available?
Yeah, all that stuff I just mentioned.
There you go, folks.
I think the last of every segment should be some sort of infomercial style call to action with people.
Okay.
Where we tell them everything is free 90 free. Wait, there's more. What if I told you, Esther? That's all we got. I'm sorry. I don't have.
Act now and get an additional episode of Soundwaves if you look into our archives.
I like that. Fuck yeah. This just got better. Well, thanks again, Esther. You really juiced up that last part.
You're welcome.
Folk Hogan is a six-piece folk band from Salt Lake City that formed in March of 2011 and features Canyon Elliott on accordion, Box on banjo, Jared Hayes on bass, Moses McKinley on mandolin, Nick Passy on guitar, and Brett Cochrans. The band released their debut album, Band of Mighty Souls, in May of 2012. Here's I'm Still Drunk from Folk Hogan's debut full-length album.
Yeah.
If I wake up in the morning, well, it seems that I survived. Groggy-faced and damn this place, cause I'm still drunk. And I'm surely not afraid of any dog that bites. I'll puke in the sink and have a drink, cause I'm still drunk. And it seems the dawn has come before the hangover has kicked in. Well, never fear, just have a beer, cause I'm still drunk. And if I wake up in the morning with a lady by my side, she's still pretty to me, cause I can't see, cause I'm still drunk.
I'm still drunk.
There's nothing left to fear. If I wake up in the morning and I find myself in jail, I'll pay the bail and drink some ale, cause I'm still drunk. And I'm the first one at the bar, I'm everyone's best friend. When it's last call, I hate you all, cause I'm still drunk. And if you have a party, it doesn't start till I arrive. It's 1:10, let's have some fun, cause I'm still drunk. And if I find a lucky lady who wants to lay with me, she's a perky decaf and I can't get it up, cause I'm too drunk. There's nothing left to fear.
That was Folk Hogan with I'm Still Drunk from their debut album, Band of Mighty Souls. The band is going to be playing Slug Localized on Saturday, August 18th at Urban Lounge. It's just $5 and it starts at 10. For more info on the group, visit them online at folkhogan.com. Strung Out is a punk rock band from California who have been playing since 1989. They gained popularity through their first two albums on Fat Records in the mid-90s and became a staple of the label over the next decade. In July 2012, the band released their best-of album, Top Contenders, The Best of Strung Out. I recently had a chance to speak with their drummer, Jordan Burns, as they were traveling.
Why now, after almost two decades, is Strung Out back with some of your earliest albums like Twisted by Design and Suburban Teenage Wasteland Blues?
Well, I guess the other question you could ask is, why not? I guess, you know, we kind of came up with the idea for this tour based on a couple different things. We just thought it would be pretty cool to take these two albums that are, you know, two of our most classic albums and base a tour around them and, you know, come up with a cool creative name for the tour and stuff. And we just felt like it was going to be something that, you know, the fans were really going to be pumped on. Yeah, basically we're doing it for the fans.
Well, thank you, by the way, for bringing all those albums back. They're some of my favorites as a fan of your band. I've been listening since the 90s. You've also stated that Strung Out is going to be returning to the studio soon to create a new album. And what do you anticipate that album to sound like? Are there any newer songs you guys are feeling confident about?
I don't know. We're kind of on hold a little bit as far as that goes, because obviously we've got about 2.5 months of touring that we're going to do right now. So the writing mode for the next record is definitely a little bit on hold. You know, maybe we'll get some some ideas going, like, you know, here and there throughout this tour or whatever, but we don't have anything set in solid. All I can really say is I know that we're going to do another record, but we never really know, like, what direction or what turn it's going to take or anything like that, and I think that that kind of shows within all of our past albums, you know? We just kind of write and put it all together and piece everything together and, you know, get our producers to help out, you know, make whatever we feel is going to be the best product that we can put out.
You mentioned that hard work element. You were one of the hard-driving bands of the Fat roster in the 90s with a more metal-themed approach than other groups. Can you tell us about the strategy, if there was one, behind that approach? Were you trying to distance yourself from other Fat bands, or is that just the sound that you guys came out with?
Well, again, I don't think it was a specific strategy that we focused on or anything. I always felt like, you know, we were kind of the black sheep of the Fat Records sound because, you know, but back in the early days, you know, you'd get lazy reporters or journalists or whatever that would be like, yeah, it sounds like Pennywise and NoFX. And I just think, it, like, back in the day, if you thought we sounded like Pennywise or NoFX, that you had wax in your ears or something. Because I always thought, like, maybe there might be slight elements of it, but I always thought that we stood out. And if there was any one sort of goal that we did that I could say that maybe we did like is, you know, the fact that we did try and stand out. But I think that's an important thing, you know, when you're a band, you want to find your own niche and you do want to stand out. But I think that if you try to do that, it may not end up working out like you would hope for it to work out. But I think something like that, you know, it's just like writing your music. It just has to come naturally, and it shouldn't be anything that's forced. I don't think we specifically seeked out to sound some particular way.
I want to mention a little bit more about your unique sound, as it were, compared to other bands on that label or bands of the time. You guys had a pretty political approach. You've come out with albums like Blackhawks Over Los Angeles and the song Firecracker, specifically off of Suburban Teenage Wasteland Blues. It's a perfect opener from that album, and it actually jump-started a lot of introspection and activism in people I knew at the time. What do you think that song says to people then and now with its politically-minded approach to war?
I don't know what it says. I mean, I think I don't like to specifically necessarily talk about it. For one, I didn't write the lyrics.
Right.
And two, I think, you know, for my own personal thing, I like to let people get their own perspective out of what they get out of it, because every different person gets something different out of lyrics, you know? Mm-hmm. And one person might find one meaning in it, and another person might find a totally different meaning in it. So I think it's good to let people get whatever they're getting personally out of it themselves. You know, I don't like to necessarily point the finger and direct and say you should be getting this or that out of it. And I believe that that's the way that Jason is himself, you know, with writing lyrics and stuff.
You recognize that it has some political overtones, and you guys aren't just sitting idly by. You're commenting on modern times.
There is, but like I'm saying, it's not something that I personally focus on and stuff, and whether we are or aren't, like, conveying some message or not, you know? I don't know. I'm not, like, a big lyrics guy. Sometimes I read our lyrics, and sometimes I don't, but...
That's the perfect drummer quote, by the way. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the reason that I do like reading our lyrics is because, like, sometimes I'll read our lyrics because of, like, you know, all the... Well, we used to get a lot of mail. The days of mail are over, but, you know, now we get different comments and stuff online, but we used to get so many, like, personal letters about, like, our lyrics and how our music helps people and stuff like that. And that was when sometimes I'd open up our album, you know, artwork and stuff with all the lyrics and just read over them and, you know, trip out on them and go like, wow, you know, this stuff is pretty awesome. But in general, like, yeah, I've never, even in general in music period, like, I've never been, like, huge lyrical content. And you're right, I am just focusing more on the drums. How about that?
Question about the it's kind of rare that bands stick around for as long as you guys have. I believe 1989 was around the time where you came together. How have you managed to stick around and remain cohesive after all these years?
I think about that a lot myself, you know, because to survive in the music industry for as long as we have, like, to know that, you know, it's around 20 years or whatever, and here we are, we're still doing it, there's so many people that still care. It's pretty gnarly, you know. We're not one of these bands that have, like, you know, broken up and done the whole reunite thing, and which obviously, like, tons of bands have done that and been doing that recently. But yeah, it's gnarly. I mean, it hasn't just been an easy road, that's for sure. I mean, there's plenty of ups and downs, but I think the reason that we still do it is, you know, I have to think that it's just like everyone still loves, you know, the music. And I know for me personally, I'm just inspired by all the fans and how many people, like, really still enjoy our music and everything that we're doing. And that's inspirational in itself to keep going. And sometimes you need that extra motivation to keep you wanting to go. But, you know, anytime I tell this to some people that ask, you know, are you sick of touring or whatever? And it's just like, well, if you are ever feeling sick of it, you know, you just sit back for a minute and think, like, look at what I do. This is awesome, and, you know, not everybody gets to do this, and, you know, if you think you got it bad, you don't.
Right.
I mean, we're not, like, you know, getting rich or nothing, but, you know, we make a small living, and we're fortunate to do it.
I'm really glad to hear that you guys still are, and I've got a follow-up question. How has the band changed over the years, and how is it the same still?
It still seems like it's the same to me. I can't think of big changes. I mean, we still do exactly what we do, you know, we still all write music and collectively put it together and make albums, and we go on tour, and I don't know, it feels like it's the same machine that it's always been, so.
That sounds like the secret to the longevity right there.
Well, it could be. I don't know if there's a secret behind it, but I don't know, I'm sure it puzzles us sometimes too, but we're still doing it.
Strung Out will be passing through Salt Lake City on August 17th at Bar Deluxe with the Darlings and Handguns. The show starts at 10 p.m. They'll be performing two of their albums in their entirety, the 1996 album Suburban Teenage Wasteland Blues and 1998's Twisted by Design. For more information on their tour and the band, check them out at strungout.com. Thanks for listening to another edition of Sound Waves from the Underground. For all things Slug Magazine, feel free to visit us at slugmag.com. What are some of your favorite places in town that serve small plate foods? You can tell us about your favorite spot for an upcoming Yelp segment. You can either send an email to soundwaves@slugmag.com or call and leave us a voicemail at 858-233-9324. We may just play you on the show. This podcast was created by Slug Magazine and is produced by Gavin Sheehan, with associate producers Esther Moronio, Ricky Vigil, Alexander Ortega, and JP. Our executive producer is Angela H. Brown. Our theme was performed by Birthquake and recorded by Jesse Ellis. Our main logo and art design is by T-Done, and technical design is by Kate O'Connor. On next week, we'll delve into the world of the Salt Lake City Kickstarter program, Yelp, and Cause.